Hey, this is Eric Stolhansky, probably best known as Rav from Super Troopers, and you're listening to Because Nerd.
So as all of this pre-stuff to has been all filler, it's not going to be in the actual show?
It wasn't recorded up until now.
Gotcha. It's like I'll trying to urinate with a boner. Not be full stream.
Precisely.
Awesome. Gotcha.
Or if it is, it'll be a full stream all over the ceiling, maybe a little bit over here.
Straight up, over the shoulder.
Right, right.
Welcome to Because Nerd. This is the 17th day of April 2019 as we record this. I'm your host, Chris Farrell, and I'm joined today by two of my best friends, Clint.
Hey.
And Mike.
Hey now.
And in addition to these clowns, I'm also joined by a very special guest. Most of you will know him as the syrup-chugging, bear-fucking rookie rabbit from the cult classic movie Super Troopers, Eric Stolhansky. Well, hello, Eric.
Hey, guys.
Pleasure to have you join us today.
Pleasure to be on.
Great to have you.
Just to go ahead and kick off the show proper, we're going to go ahead and do a syrup chugging contest that no one can see. So if everyone would grab their bottles.
I'm done. I win.
Fuck. You started before I said it. So, Eric, I heard you guys actually did drink the syrup. And I just imagine that's played roughshod on your stomach for probably days. I mean.
Yeah, I mean, we tried to save ourselves by using iced tea, but it didn't look thick enough.
Oh, yeah, right. Is explosive diarrhea a byproduct of chugging syrup, or what was the biggest ramification? If you're a wimp.
Chandrasekhar, I believe, tried to throw it up, but he couldn't get it up because it was too thick.
Oh my God.
Oh.
That's horrible. I can't imagine trying to throw something up and not being able to. We were talking about the Fear Factor episode that killed the show. And the one that killed the show was the jizz chugging. On the show, they could choose between donkey jizz or donkey urine, and so everybody chose the jizz apparently, yeah. And that's what killed the show. So.
They would rather drink that than donkey urine.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Interesting absolutely. Psychology.
Yeah.
Those girls that hopped on it seemed to have a little experience, though. I mean, they downed it pretty good.
Yeah. They didn't fucking bat an eye. And they do it, and they throw it up immediately. And the only reason I bring this up is the whole syrup jizz ratio is probably off a little bit, but being able to throw that up would probably be just as hard.
That was an actual show. Like, they actually had that on TV on like a network.
Yep.
Yeah.
So they never aired it officially in the beginning, but they aired it way later as a rerun.
So the show just ended. So somebody went to turn on the next weekend. It was just a test signal.
Yeah, it was gone.
Didn't it get canceled like TMZ? You know, they caught the story about the jizz chugging and then that got out in the media. And then the studio was like, okay, fuck this. We got to shut it down.
Yeah, that's what happened.
The next episode up was Fear Factor. Will you suck a dick for money?
Right. Don't answer that. You can go back and watch the video. It's hilarious and disgusting at the same time. Sorry, I felt compelled to tell Eric about the jizz chugging contest because we're talking about chugging syrup. So,
how do you extract 90 ounces?
That's actually on there in the video. There's donkeys on the set. They were like shocking them.
Yep. They literally take a cattle prod. They shock the donkey in areas that would, I guess, emit semen.
It sounds to me like what he said is they stuck a cattle prod in the ass, shocked its prostate, and it would just...
That's exactly what he said, yeah. That's what he said. I just felt bad. I don't know why I'm talking about chugging jizz, and I felt bad about saying shocking the prostate of a donkey, but that's what they did. So, yeah.
I'd have to agree with PETA on that one. That's some messed up shit.
You can see why PETA got involved.
Yeah, absolutely.
Kind of does make sense.
I don't know. Has anyone had their prostate tased? Might be missing out.
Maybe. Who knows? Coming up on pushing 40, I'm probably going to have to get a prostate exam soon, so I'm getting there.
Ugh. Go to the police station to get it, and you can have a taser inserted.
Right. Super Troopers 3 coming out. We're going to the max on this new one.
Yeah.
Don't hold your breath yet. We still have to write it.
Winter Soldier, man. It's already got an IMDb page.
Yeah, it's got a title and an announcement. But we still have to write it. We have outlined it, which is a great outline.
Awesome.
And I've written my section, so there are chunks of it that are written, but we have many drafts to go before we polish.
Do you all then get together, like you all kind of write your part, sort of, you know, you got your bits and your jokes in there, and then you all get together and compare and then democratically vote on what goes in?
Yeah, well, we sit around a table for a long time, weeks, and we outline it, and we come up with a very detailed outline like you would like a paper, like high school or college paper. You have a beginning, you know, body and an end, so you know where it's going. And then each of us splits off. We write 20, 25 pages each. And then you have a very rough first draft. And then you just keep polishing it. We do about 20 to 30 drafts per script.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's
a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. Yeah, it takes about a year.
Yeah, it's crazy. I was kind of curious, too, in just kind of reading up about Super Troopers 2 and how you guys made it. Crowdfunding, all that. We definitely want to talk about that and how that all worked out for you guys. But there's always going to be, I'm assuming, jokes and certain scenes in the movie that you may feel very strongly about that you just have to have in the movie, but the other guys, maybe they poo-poo on that and they don't want to do it. Was there anything in Super Troopers 2, were there any jokes or any scenes that like you personally just said had to have in the movie and maybe they didn't agree, but it got in anyway?
What are the best jokes? Whatever those were,
the best jokes. Okay. That's kind of what I was thinking.
I don't know. I don't know if there was ever a moment where I said, "Guys, I have to have this," and they disagreed.
Your ideas are just too good. Now, who's going to shoot down anything you suggested? Now,
right? I like your style. I like your style.
Yeah. Now, Jay, I'm sure that guy. I mean, flip of a coin, right? But I mean, you batting 1,000,
right? Right. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how to describe the process. But you know, you're kind of riffing an idea, something just kind of feels like it's funny, and then you kind of just polish that joke or you build on it. Like you kind of come up with a kernel and the other guys jump on it and you go back and forth. So I don't know if there was anything where it was like, oh, I have to have this in there, and fought for it, because a lot of it is very collaborative. Mm-hmm. And so it kind of develops over time.
Okay,
gotcha.
There was one part in there, I think it's Mac, when you know they're in the Mounties outfit. They pull over a couple in the car and they're going back and forth on the dialogue, right? They're just making up nonsense sort of French.
The happiness in the asshole scene.
He slips in a Fran Tarkenton in there.
The Fran Tarkenton was a great, yeah.
Right. Okay. Did you have anything to do with the Fran Tarkenton?
You'd think I would, because I'm from Minnesota. Yeah, sure. But no, I don't, you know, I can't take much credit for that scene. I don't know if I can take any credit for that scene. It was a story that Lemmy had back in the days when he was in New York, when I can't remember exactly the history of it, but there was a misinterpretation, I believe, of that, hearing that. And so then he kind of rewrote that and told it in some stand-up that he did, and then we adapted it for a movie where it was dialogue, pulling over a car and stuff like that.
Yeah, that was awesome. I love the reference just because we're the same age. So like Fran Tarkenton was a big deal in the Vikings back, you know, when we were kids.
He was the best, man. The best scrambler in the history of NFL.
There you go.
Couldn't catch the man. He was like the Benny Hill of the NFL. If anybody got a Benny Hill reference there.
Benny Hill. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Benny Hill. I was literally just I'm a musician, and my kids were in the room with us here, and I bought a little electronic drum set. I'm trying to teach my 7, my 8-year-old how to play drums, and I'm playing guitar with them. And it's funny you mentioned Benny Hill, because I went through Wipeout. I was trying to get them to learn Wipeout. I was trying to get them to learn Miserloo by Dick Dale. And then I literally went into the Benny Hill. I was trying to figure out the... I mean, they had no idea what I was playing or doing.
Yeah.
But I was trying to figure that out. That's kind of funny. I thought that was awesome.
There's nobody in your audience that will understand that reference.
No, not at all.
They're far too young. I mean, I was a kid when that show was on TV.
Yeah, me too.
I remember it was awesome. I loved watching, but it's been so long.
So the reference, if anyone's listening, is Benny Hill used to chase around women.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. In the opening sequence of his comedy show.
And he always had the hot chicks, and you didn't get too much of that on TV, so it was a big deal.
Yeah. That's awesome.
So
that's awesome.
I can see a lot of guitars in you guys' background. You guys are like guitar fanatics.
Yeah, we've all been buddies from high school from a long time ago. And Chris and I were in a band a long time ago. Mike is actually in my current band.
I started playing music before these guys were born.
That's probably true.
So yeah, Mike and I and Chris are all very musically oriented. And actually, I wanted to bring up music to talk to you about Eagles of Death Metal.
Nice.
Because in Super Troopers 2, when on the very beginning of the movie, man, that whole opening is fucking amazing. And Eagles of Death Metal is one of my favorite bands, so that really made me happy. So I was kind of curious how you guys came about bringing them in.
Us and Broken Lizard were friends with Josh and Jesse from Eagles of Death Metal, and buddies of the guys in Queens of the Stone Age.
Wow.
And I don't know. I guess Eagles of Death Metal, you know, they have a kind of a humor aspect to them. Some of their songs are kind of light and funny, and it was just a good mix. So they agreed do the score on the soundtrack, and we have the ending credits is Blind by the Light.
Right.
And the opening song where we play our rock and roll fantasy, you know, we all have a fantasy to be and roll musicians. And so we thought it'd be fun to create this fictional band, Cracklin' Bacon, and try to just throw a curveball at the beginning to, you're kind of wondering what happened to Troopers a bunch of years later. Do we just start off and we're still Troopers? Do we start off where the last movie ended, where we're local cops? So we had worked on this a lot, and he said, let's throw like a kind of a wrench in there. And some people like it, some people don't. Some people are really confused by it at the opening, but we thought it'd be fun just to see if anybody would believe the fact that we had won America's Got Talent and we're actually a rock and roll band. And then it turns out to be a dream.
I like how the whole thing kind of ends with like a Toons is the Cat style off the cliff.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yep. Toons is the Cat. That's right.
Yeah. An homage to SNL there. Yeah. Toons is the Cat.
Yeah.
I love the fact that you guys brought in that music in particular. It could have been anything. It could have been some radio rock. You know, not that anything's wrong with radio.
Yeah, we had 38 Special in the first movie.
What's that?
38 Special scored the first movie and wrote the theme song at the beginning.
That's right. That's right. Which is also freaking amazing, too. So, you know, it's great that you hear that stuff and you're going, yeah, they could have been anything on there, but they picked some really awesome bands. So I'm proud. I love that. It looks like, hey, wait, Logan's on with us.
Yeah. This is our full crew, Eric. This other guy that's just joined us is Logan. So this is our full cast.
Hi, Logan.
Hi, Eric.
Are you the bass player in the band?
Skin flute.
Yeah, 100%.
I'm more of a skin flute player.
Logan's actually, he's a musician too. He's a great guitar player and like another friend of ours from back in high school from a long time ago. So it's kind of nice that I was kind of curious with Broken Lizard. You guys met in college or did any of you know each other before college?
We all met in college. We did not know each other beforehand. We're all from all over the country.
And everybody went to Chicago then? That's where you met?
We went to a small school upstate New York called Colgate University. It's up by Syracuse.
Oh, okay.
And
dental hygiene school.
What? Yeah, dental hygiene school. We are all planning on being oral hygienists. We got sidetracked.
You have to have something to fall back on if the acting, producing, writing doesn't work out.
Thank God. Yeah, we all have our night jobs. We all work in dentist offices around the country at night.
That'd be crazy going to get a teeth cleaning and then like you show up.
I don't know if I'd be like, is this a joke? Are you guys really going to work on my teeth or am I like some crazy scene in a movie?
Where's the candid camera? All right, let's go ahead and get this shit over with.
Would you let Farva give you dental implants?
Oh, God.
Would you let him gas you?
Yeah. I might let anybody accept Farva Gaffney, maybe.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so with 420 coming up in a couple days, I mean, do you guys have any large any events going on? Are you guys doing anything for Super Troopers 2 being the anniversaries in a couple days? Are you doing anything like this weekend?
We should. I'm actually going to be up in Canada. Weed is legal. So it's almost like going to a beer fest here in the United States, but there's a big expo happening up in Niagara Falls, Ontario, where I will be up there just doing a public appearance, doing a panel, Q&A, meet and greet kind of thing.
That's awesome.
So on 420, I will be at a cannabis expo in Canada.
Yes.
Man.
In our lifetime, I never would have imagined that we would be saying, I'm going to a 420 expo anywhere. But I never thought that I would see the day where it was like free and awesome to talk about and do and all that good stuff.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It should be legalized across the country. Just everyone does it. Why not just legalize it, tax it? And
absolutely.
I don't know. Absolutely. I was thinking.
Okay,
about
we got him saying it. All right, the cops are at your door, Eric. Hold on, they'll be.
Didn't say I do it. I don't touch the stuff, right? No, it's funny. I was in Maine last weekend, and I'm at this bar. We're watching the Final Four, a little hockey, and these guys are on the corner for me. They just start doing shots. I mean, they just were down. They must have done four or five shots, maybe six, in like an hour.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And they were getting drunk and obnoxious and violent. You know what I mean? I felt like they were about to go puke on themselves. You know what I mean? Like they were going in a direction that was going to be bad, right?
Sure.
They were going to go get in a fight with somebody there. They were loud. And that has to be worse than smoking a little weed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh yeah, by far.
It's so much worse. I mean, unbelievably worse.
Well, Mr. Eric, can I call you Mr. Eric?
Please.
Is that okay?
Oh, I insist you only call me Mr. Eric from now.
Mr. Eric. There was a Hootie and the Blowfish show, and there was a very nice restaurant, and it was right next to the street where the festival was. And I went to the bathroom, and they're peeing in the sink. They're peeing in everything.
Wait, Hootie and the Blowfish are peeing in the sink?
Yes, there was Hootie and the Blowfish. They were peeing in the sink.
Okay, all right.
No, so
you're just these are the effects of alcohol, is what you're saying?
These are the effects of alcohol.
Yeah, you'll pee on anything. It doesn't matter. Yeah,
now,
I don't
if
care
they were
what.
Stoned, they wouldn't be peeing at all. I mean, not even a little bit.
No, so, they wouldn't even have saliva in their mouth.
That's the new slogan yes, I for think. Weed. Yeah, I think it's much more detrimental to society. So we should legalize weed. That's my two cents.
Since we're on weed and Broken Lizard, so that story Clint had brought up prior to getting you on, Mr. Eric, was Willie Nelson.
Yeah.
Being in the Dukes of Hazzard.
Willie's great.
So there's the story, and Clint, you can jump in if I start getting this wrong, but Jay had brought a friend on the bus with Willie.
Oh, yeah, right. I was going to ask you if you would happen to be there for that occasion. I was watching an interview with, I think it was Jimmy Fallon or one of the late night guys, and Jay had talked about bringing his, I think he was a federal prosecutor, onto Willie's bus, and they went in the back, and Willie, you know, before going on, he explains that he tells his friend, Willie's going to want to smoke, and I'd urge you just not to do it. Just don't do it, man. Like, you're not ready for it. It's not good. And they say they go back in the back of the bus, and Willie is back there, and obviously Willie's doing what Willie does. And he said, I turned around or went to the bathroom or did something and came back. And my friends basically chiefing it up with Willie, which, I mean, I don't know how you wouldn't do that.
You got it.
And he says his buddy starts to pass out.
I think you're legally obligated if you're within 50 feet of Willie to go ahead
and
at least take
a... And it's legal. I think no matter where you are, if you're on Willie's bus, it's legal. It's like the Vatican. It's
diplomatic community,
state. But basically, the story goes that his buddy passes out quite a few times. They get him off the bus, and Willie's such a nice guy that he calls later and says, hey, I just want to call and check in on your friend. How's your friend doing? And he goes, he's fine. And by the way, Willie, he's a federal prosecutor. And Willie says, yeah, I know. That's why I brought out my strongest shit. I was curious, were you there at that in that moment at all or part of that stat at all?
I'm aware of the story. I was not there that day. Okay. I believe Jay was shooting a documentary for a while with Willie. Willie's kind of become a pal of ours, and Jay was shooting some documentary footage at the Beacon Theater in New York that night.
Okay.
But I don't know if he ever completed the documentary, if he just was collecting the footage.
Just got stoned.
I hope he does. Yeah, he got stoned, forgot about it.
Yep. Like, oh, he erased all the footage by accident.
You know, that brings up a really good point with Willie Nelson. In all of your movies, in Broken Lizard's movies and Super Troopers 2, you guys have a huge cast of awesome people doing cameos and just in the movie. Are a lot of those folks friends that you guys have made or, you know, through the business? Or are they folks that are just fans of the movies? You know, how do you come about getting like a Willie Nelson or some of the other folks in there, like Bill Paxton, Stifler, basically. How do you guys get those guys in the movies? Is it friendship or is it just they audition?
Well, you hire a casting director and then you make an offer. And it's sort of a combination of people who are friends and fans. Mm-hmm. I think Jürgen Prochnow now, who was in Beerfest to play the submarine captain and the German patriarch, he had, you know, they have kids and their kids say, oh yeah, Broken Lizard, Super Troopers, you haven't seen it, you got to check it out, you got to be in their movies, it'd be a blast. So I think Jürgen's, you know, kids recommended it. Bill Paxton, we made him an offer for Coconut Pete, and he went back and watched Super Troopers. And then afterwards it was like, oh, hell yeah, man, I'll do this. That sounds fun.
That's awesome. That is so cool.
I'm not surprised because I remember when I saw the trailer for Super Troopers back about halfway through college at that point in my life. And man, it felt like a breath of fresh air just to see. Like I just remember the trailer got me so fucking pumped. I was like, I don't care what happens. I'm going to fucking watch this movie. This is going to be amazing. And I was not disappointed. It was awesome.
It is. I mean, not just trying to, you know, kiss ass. That movie really is one of the best comedies I think of all time. I really do. I think it's amazing. So
I've always said that it has like the best first 15 minutes of like any movie I've ever seen.
Yep.
And I played it for my parents back when I was like 29. And everything was all good up until the jerking off and seeing the billboard.
That lost him?
It lost my dad. He was like...
It touched home too close.
Is he like a proper Southern gentleman? He's like,
we let it go too long.
That's what she said.
That's pretty far into the movie, too.
Hey, I have a question about that opening scene, Eric. So when you guys are pulling over the stoners and harassing them and all that, and then you do you pull off, you know, just quickly out of nowhere, and then stop, spin out, come back, spin out again, and then speed towards them. Did you guys have stunt drivers, or did you actually drive the car?
Well, we definitely had stunt drivers, but I was in that car when it went backwards. So nice. Jay wasn't because we had a stunt driver, but I was in the passenger seat, and it was terrifying. Like if you ever drive backwards, you know how if you make the slightest little turn on the wheel, the car kind of just moves exaggeratedly.
Yes.
And so this guy's flying backwards like 55 miles an hour right next to that car. And I was trying to be as tough as I could, but to be honest, I thought any minute we were going to crash.
Peeing your pants a little bit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good.
It's fair.
Good thing you didn't film that directly after the syrup scene.
Right.
Exactly. Yes.
Like I was trying to throw up. I couldn't throw up. I'm pissing myself in this car. It was terrible. I read that, I read somewhere that the transmission broke from trying to do whatever, you know, the scene where you guys are peeling out, backing up. Did that happen?
That was the funny thing about stunt drivers. They're pretty crazy and they like to go get these rentals and just fly around in them and then hand them back in, basically the transmission dragging as they're returning them.
Seems like that should be a rental car question. Like you should have to check, are you a stunt driver?
It would be a good idea. It would be wise of them to do that.
So Clint, you didn't ever ask about the shaving cream yet. So I'm curious about that.
I can imagine that's probably pretty intense. I was thinking of a good segue after the syrup drinking thing.
Sure.
And in doing some research on the... I guess it was menthol or shaving cream that they put all over you in the first movie. That had to suck. I'm sure it was burning all over. And it also probably had to suck because I'm assuming you didn't apply that yourself.
Yeah.
So whoever the person was having to do that.
The prop master had quite an adventure on that first film. The first thing that went wrong, I think we were shooting the opening scene when Captain O'Hagan takes a bite of the bar of soap. And the prop master had gone and gotten white chocolate. Which seems like a great solution.
Right.
Yeah. Only to find out just before Brian's about to take a bite, he said, is this chocolate? And she's like, yeah, of course. He goes, I'm diabetic. God damn it, you're about to kill me. So she had to go somehow upstate New York, find non-sugar diabetic white chocolate and carve a bar of soap out of it.
Damn. And that was a very good impression, by the way.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Acting. And then with the syrup chugging, she originally put iced tea in it, unsweetened iced tea, which was smart. But then Jay looked at the monitor, only find it wasn't thick enough. So then we had to replace it with real maple syrup and then chug that over and over and again. So Jay had done about 2.5 full bottles, and I did 3 full bottles by the end of all the takes.
Ooh.
Oh, my God. Oh,
and then the locker room scene, she had felt, I don't know, she just went to the local drugstore, Walgreens, CVS, whatever it was at the time. Grabbed as much shaving cream as she could off the shelves and just filled the locker because it took like a ton of shaving cream to fill the locker.
Oh, for sure.
And then I get stripped down to my boxers and I jump in there and all of a sudden I just start feeling it burning. And we look at the bottles and they were menthol.
Yep.
And I have it in my eyes, my ears, my mouth and everything. And the funny thing was next door there's a fire station. So We quickly get a shot, call my ass over there, and they're like, can we use your shower over here? And basically, I was the first sort of like semi-naked guy to show up at this fire station. These guys hadn't seen Super Troopers or anything. They're like, what the hell are you guys doing over there? Semi-naked, I come covered in shaving cream. I jump in the shower. A couple days later, we haul Farva over there, naked, covered in powdered sugar, to shower at the fire station next.
Yeah, one of the best lines in that movie too is when it just it's delicious. I love it.
Thought we were shooting some like male porno next door.
Oh yeah, for sure. Oh, yeah. They did not think you guys were filming a movie, a regular movie. They thought it was totally porn.
Yeah, just right. Some naked guys.
It was an air quotes movie.
right. Yeah, and then we were fucking a bear, and then they really set it off. They were like, this is not a regular movie, guys.
No.
Well, I had a question for you in regards to the crowdfunding aspect of Super Troopers 2.
Yeah.
As we all know, like, I read that Super Troopers 1 initially wasn't a huge success as far as, like, opening weekend goes or however that goes, but over time, over the past, like, what, 15 years, it's become such a popular and such a you know classic movie. I read that the studio wasn't going to pay for the movie up front. You guys had to do the crowdfunding to get that jump started. But it kind of boggles me that after all of the success of Super Troopers Part 1, they wouldn't just step in and go, "Yeah, guys, of course we're going to give you the money to do this." So, can you talk a little bit about why you had to do the crowdfunding rather than just getting it from the studio on the jump?
Yeah, studios really only want to put money into films that they think will have big opening box office weekends.
Okay.
You know, I mean, they're not really concerned about somebody that has a DVD audience.
Right.
And they just want to have movie stars be able to open up a movie, and most successes are dependent on opening weekend.
Right, okay.
Because you kind of have a drop-off, because then the next big movie comes, you're going to have the next Avengers, you're going to have the next Captain Marvel, the next Iron Man, something, and that's just going to knock you off the second week. Some films kind of have success for 4 or 5 weeks, but mostly you have opening weekend to determine your success. So even though we had a lot of success in DVDs and this cult kind of classics, they didn't necessarily see us as somebody that could open up a huge weekend.
Gotcha. Okay.
So after the first 24 hours of your Indiegogo campaign took off, it was, what, $2 million after that, right?
We raised $2 million in 20 hours, yes.
How big of a victory celebration do you have to do that night? That must feel amazing.
Yeah, it was terrifying. We didn't know if we'd raise $5 in the first 20 hours, you know? You have no idea. You hit go and you don't know if anyone's going to contribute.
Yeah. I feel like you guys should have like had a mannequin around that you just like dubbed as studio so that you could just like cuss at that thing and just be like, fuck you, we told you, motherfucker. These motherfuckers want this thing. Here you go.
Was there donations coming in from Norway and Sweden? Are you pretty acclaimed over there now?
I wish, man. I'm still waiting for the invitation to come over there and have a parade or something. Nothing yet.
You've got the namesake. You have enough consonants in your name to fit in.
Yeah, my last name's Swedish and Norwegian, so I was hoping that I might get an invitation. But with comedy, comedy doesn't always translate in foreign language, so we have a little more of a following like on Australia and England.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is. That is true. Every time you're watching, sometimes like my dad's hard of hearing, and I'm totally jacking his Netflix account. So he always turns the subtitles on, and for some reason, whenever I'm watching it too, the subtitles pop up at the bottom, and I'll just find myself reading the subtitles for no reason. I don't need them, but they never, like, especially in comedies, they don't line up sometimes all the way. Like if I'm watching a foreign movie coming over here, it's completely different in subtitles and the jokes don't translate. And a lot of times it's just way off. So I can imagine trying to watch, you know, Super Troopers in Scandinavia. It's probably not as funny with, you know, a penis in the asshole scene. They're like, what? I don't get it. It's that, what does a phallus have to do in a rectum or whatever? I don't know.
Yeah, meow doesn't go over in Sweden as well.
I was trying to imagine like someone makes a "that's what she said" joke or something, but it just says at the bottom like she proclaimed that she stated that. Yeah. Right.
She stated that is true.
Do you agree? It's funny, yes.
So I need to tell this story just because I got you on the show, and how can I not? But it leads to a question of. before the movie, before Super Troopers came out, or before you guys were kind of known for that, I've seen a lot of interviews and a lot of things where police officers, if you guys get pulled over or you've had a really good reception from police officers across the United States, which is awesome. So my question to you was going to be, but I'll tell you mine first. And I always thought this was kind of funny, and it relates a little bit to Super Troopers. But I've got two different colored eyes. I've got a green eye and a brown eye. And I was going to Guitar Center one day. I had a guitar with me. I was going to go like trade it in and get a horrible deal on it and buy something else. And they were going to, you know, take all my money. And my windows were, I had just moved to Arizona. My windows were super tinted because out here, if you don't have your windows tinted, you just die. And so I'm driving. He pulls me over for having too dark a windows. And he pulls, you know, rolls the window down. I tell him I'm trying to make it to Guitar Center before it closes. And I thought I was speeding. He goes, no, I'm giving you a fix-it ticket for your windows. Can I get your license? But he comes back and goes, what does dick mean? And I was like, is this a trick question?
I was rude at the DMV, so they just went ahead and labeled me.
I know. They're just like, this guy's a dick. And I'm just like, and I'm really confused because I'm going, why the hell is this cop asking me about dicks? This is, am I going to have to suck his dick to get out of this ticket? Because I'll do it. You know, I got to get to Guitar Center.
Are you dropping hits or something? What is it? Where is this going?
Yeah, I don't know, man.
It's confessions, I think.
And I go, I said, I'm sorry, sir. I don't know what you're talking about. And he goes, dick, it says it right here on your license that your eye color is dick. And I go, oh, different in color. I have two different colored eyes. It says different in color. He let me off because of that. So I know you guys probably get let off of some tickets because of who you are and stuff. But, you know, with the movies and all. But at least I can hold on to that one small victory that I got off because my eyes are two different colors and he thought I was a dick.
So. I just love the imagining him sitting in his car looking at this thing saying your eyes are dick. And him trying, like, I just imagine like a 1 minute pause before he comes back and speaks. Like when he gets back, he just stares at you, just looking into your eyes, like looking for a dick or something. Like,
does he have a dick? Well, it's not, you know, it kind of reminded me of like in England, it sounds like something an English person would say is like, oh man, my eyes are dick. Like saying they're bad, you know? So it's just like the DMV is like poor vision is just dick.
That's so dick of you. Oh, wow.
Right.
That's so dick. But are you, do you have any stories of anything from being pulled over prior to being known for Super Troopers?
Yeah, I don't know if I have any good pullovers prior. I mean, I got my first ticket within days of getting my driver's license. I remember trying to, getting a speeding ticket like my second day of having my license.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Got like going 95 and my dad saw it and he's like, that car doesn't even go 95.
Not when you're driving, Dad.
It did today.
Yes, it does, Dad.
It did today.
So Lemmy got out of going like 120. He has the best story. He tells that when he does stand up. I was driving through southern Minnesota. My wife and I got pulled over, and it was kind of wintry, so sort of Fargo-esque, where the guy asked me to get out of the car, and then he said, since it's so cold, you can sit in the car. So I'm sitting in the cruiser, and he's looking up my license on the computer. And I was like, oh, God, do I try this? And I was like, okay. And I said, oh, wow, cool car. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've only played a cop in a movie, but yeah. And he's like, oh, yeah, what movie was that? And I was like, oh, I was in a movie called Super Troopers. And he's like, oh, okay, cool. he gave me a ticket anyway.
Oh, really?
Could have cared less. But then somebody on social media called me out on it by saying, Rabbit and Super Troopers tried to get out of a ticket when my uncle pulled him over. And so.
Oh, man.
So he told people the story, and then his nephew called me out on it.
The clickbait is Eric Stolhansky is a dick that tries to get out of tickets by using same as a blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
It's that's not how it works.
I got busted.
Oh, shit.
You know, he had to go back and watch Super Troopers after that, though, right?
Okay. He's like, oh, I knew. It didn't work.
It didn't work.
We had a total fear of shooting that movie that cops were going to hate us thinking that we're making fun of them. And so we thought we were all the time and harassed, not realizing that the cops actually liked the movie. So we were surprised.
What about in Canada? Do you guys have was it a pretty good reception in Canada with like the Mounties or, you know, have you gotten any feedback from the police up there?
We screened in Toronto before the movie came out and got good reception in Ontario. I imagine in Quebec, the Quebecois perhaps might not take it as lightly. I have a feeling they're more serious.
Really? Okay. All right.
So we haven't screened it at Montreal yet. We did get a hate letter from some woman asking us to write an apology to Quebec.
Really? And did you do it?
No, but we kept the letter and we love it.
Nice. Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah, I'd frame that and put it on the wall. Absolutely.
Absolutely. I pissed off a lady in Quebec. Yeah, my life is fulfilled.
Now, was she French or?
She was, I guess, French-Canadian, and she thought that we were insulting her country by making fun of the stereotypes.
You should write her a letter back that just says, the secret to happiness is epiness in the asshole.
I like to keep it alive.
Just thought you needed advice. I was looking up just doing research, getting ready to talk to you. One thing I saw was a suggestion that when you guys were first making Super Troopers, that the studio had suggested maybe that you guys should try to get like Ben Affleck and Matt Damon just because they were kind of hot at the time. Was that, did that actually happen?
Yeah. When we wrote the first Super Troopers, you know, we wrote it and then we went out to Los Angeles and we shopped around the studios trying to get financing for it, hoping that one of the studios would want to make it. And they were like, oh, this is a funny script. Who do you envision to be the stars in this movie? And we're like, us.
One and only. Hey,
you know, like I said, they care about opening weekend and they want stars to open films, and obviously we didn't have any star power. Nobody knew who we are, so no studio really was going to take a chance on us. But one studio did say, if you can get Ben Affleck to play Thorny, that they would be interested in making it.
Really?
Oh my god.
Oh man. If you can get Ben Affleck, Ramathorn? Holy shit. Drastically different movie. That would have been a way different film.
Yeah. It's definitely a good thing that didn't happen.
So then we had to go raise the money independently and sell it at Sundance Film Festival because of that.
Nice. You know, nice. I was trying to go back and watch all the movies, all the Broken Lizard movies before today. And one thing I noticed is that like Netflix, I don't think any of them were on Netflix right now. Basically, I'm just trying to say we need to get it out there more. We need more people to be able to watch it. And I wasn't able to get to it last night. So what do we need to do to do that?
Yeah, DVD sales don't work anymore. So we need to stream this thing. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, Clint, buy the goddamn DVD. You wouldn't have
any problem. Oh, look. I just check out what I bought. I went to Zia.
Super Troopers 2. A puddle cruiser. Where'd you find that? At a used DVD store?
What do you think about Puddle Cruiser?
I really liked it. I don't know. You know, we were trying to figure out where to put the camera and... it was definitely our film school. Did you just do a shot of maple syrup?
Yeah, he wasn't here in the beginning, so he's got to catch up on the maple syrup.
I like Puddle Cruiser. I like a lot of people go back. It's funny because Puddle Cruiser, we went to Sundance with it, didn't get picked up. And like 10 years later, Fox decided that they would re-release it because Super Troopers was successful on DVD. So then they photoshopped this like cheerleader on the cover. But Puddle Cruiser really is an independent film, kind of a low-budget film, about a guy who is dating a girl. The girl is dating a guy that was on the rugby team, so the character joins the rugby team to prove he's as tough as her ex. And so it's this low budget, kind of small indie film, but they made it look like it's like this college sex romp.
Yeah.
And so people rent it because they see this cheerleader on the cover and they watch like, this is like an independent film. What the hell? So we weren't that psyched about the marketing of it.
They sell it.
They sell it hard.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. I bought this new from Zia's, so I had to order it from them.
That's Puddle Cruiser.
And so they had a copy, which was awesome. But the coolest thing about it is if you open it up, there's an insert that says, bring home more outrageous comedy on DVD. And it's got Super Troopers, Club Dread. Then it's got Tracy Lord's Frostbite.
What?
Pauly Shore Dead. We've got a gas station movie, and then Burt Reynolds is in Cloud Nine.
I'd like to show you this
as evidence number one. So those of you in podcast land, it's got some Broken Lizard movies and then a bunch of other shit that I don't think anybody's ever heard of.
What?
And then on the front though, but if you look at the front, we've got our very special guest dressed up.
Freaky Reiki.
Right there.
I'm just imagining whoever the graphics person was putting this thing together, and they're like, okay, we got this one, and we got this one, and then shit, the bottom of this page looks kind of empty. I don't know. Let me just see what's in my folder here. Yeah, fuck, that's fine. All right, let's put these over.
Pauly Shore is dead.
I never heard of it.
I don't know if anybody ever watched that movie. And then Tracy Lord's Frostbite, I'm pretty sure is a porno. So I'm not quite sure how that ended up in the old fucking Puddle Cruiser, you know, liner, but it did. So.
Yeah, it's wild. They really tried to sell it as like this sex comedy, which it's not. It's just a it's Sunday.
Exactly. India. Yeah, they were trying to put it together with other sex comedies.
Yeah, exactly. It's weird.
They called the fire station that was next to when you guys were filming Super Troopers and asking what kind of, like, what is this a blike? We need to put other stuff along with it.
So, hey, Chris, there's a couple things that I was thinking we could get to. I don't know how much time we got you with you, Mr. Eric. We've put together a list of some folks from Broken Lizard movies that we were hoping maybe you could be a part of this game with us. And there's also Game of Thrones that I think you're a fan of, and we're all geeking out about because we just watched it.
Hell yeah.
So I was going to ask you, do you have a preference, maybe if you have any more time with us, which way we can go?
Let's do it all.
Okay.
All right. Kick ass.
Awesome.
Perfect.
All right. So I've got the list here. We're going to start off with Fuck, Marry, Kill. These are all going to be characters from Broken Lizard movies.
Feel free to speak out loud your thought process.
Exactly.
It doesn't have to be an expedited answer.
Right. Let's put some thought into this. Yeah, let's dig in deep as to why you want to fuck or kill somebody.
Phone a friend. Ask us if you need suggestions.
I'm married, so if you know, let's be gentle here.
Yeah, let's be gentle.
Okay.
Yep.
Happily married.
So we're talking characters from movies, not the actual actors themselves, just to make that clear. These are the characters as they're portrayed in the movies.
Fictional, so, right.
With Club Dread, we've got Putman, Juan, and we've got Coconut Pete. Putman is the kind of the English-speaking tennis player with the dreadlocks. Juan is the kind of Spanish-speaking sexy character in the show that's always fucking people. And Coconut Pete is basically Margaritaville guy that...
He's Jimmy Buffett, yeah.
Yeah.
He's Jimmy Buffett. There you go. I couldn't think of fucking Jimmy Buffett's name. All right, so those are your three choices there.
Boy, that's a tough one. I've never thought of any of that related to those characters before.
Same thing I would have said if I was asked this question.
These are not going to be softball
this
questions.
Is Jim Rome, the Jim Rome shit. I don't know.
I'll give you what I would pick.
Okay, let's get it. Yeah, so, go ahead. Hit me.
I'd marry Coconut Pete because I love Coconut Pete. I love Bill Paxton. I'd probably fuck Juan because he seems the most experienced.
Yeah.
And then Putman, I'd probably have to kill Putman because that tennis action just doesn't do it for me. So that's probably how I'd go.
Okay. Here's my thought process on that. I would be afraid to marry Juan because of the STDs you might get. Oh, wait, you were going to fuck Juan.
I was going to fuck him. I guess he would be. Yeah, I would be fucking him. So I probably would still get the STDs because. Yeah,
because he's been around.
Yeah, he has. Ah, damn it.
But I'll go with you on marrying Coconut Pete because he's got a cool island and he would be a lot of fun to hang out with.
Exactly.
Hell yeah, you would. You definitely got to do that. But
yeah,
I didn't think of the STDs there. That's a problem. You got yourself in a sticky spot there.
Yeah, Juan's been around, man. Yeah. Juan's a slut.
Yeah. All right. So maybe, okay, I changed my mind. I kill Juan
so he doesn't give you anything.
Right. Right,
yeah.
And so, Putman, so maybe you have to fuck because he's got the best hair that you could use as a steering wheel.
Uh-huh. Good point.
Use his dreadlocks as like a steering wheel kind of thing, you know?
Just grab the reins.
Yep.
I feel self-conscious now.
Okay, cool. Well, I think we got our answer there. Very, very good.
Okay.
Eric, what do you think is a Z-job?
I've read a couple great definitions of it.
All right.
If we're going to break the sort of illusion of it being something magical, I'll give a couple concrete examples, which I thought were pretty hysterical.
Let's do it. Yeah.
One was a zombie job that you wake up and you realize that you're getting a BJ out of a dead sleep.
You wake up and you realize you're getting a BJ.
That's pretty good.
Pretty good one.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Or a zebra job.
Oh, God.
Which is you're getting a handy from a black hand and a white hand, like a Caucasian and African American at the same time.
A dual
hand.
You know what? You can kind of say that one makes sense because, well, Nah, I won't go down that road. I mean, I know where you were going.
I got you.
You know where I was going with that. So I think a Z job is the zebra job. I think that makes the most sense.
Both pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's an interracial hand job.
That's right. That's it. That's the most condensed way to say it.
That's good.
Perfect.
I always thought the Z job was like up through the anus and then like massaging the balls.
Oh,
prostate, I think, is a better if you reach someone's balls from inside their anus, there's a different issue.
Right.
Call a doctor immediately.
That sounds involved. Yeah.
I apologize, everybody.
Let's talk Game of Thrones.
All right.
Plenty of fuck, marrying, and killing going on there.
So are John and Daenerys brother and sister, or are they cousins?
Neither. They're aunt and nephew.
Aunt and nephew, that's right. Okay.
Yeah, which is so confusing.
She had that brother from the beginning, but she had another brother who was older, and that's John's dad.
Right. That's her brother. Okay, right, okay. So it's aunt, nephew, which is cool.
I mean, you know.
I don't know if that's considered kosher. Like, you know, there used to be a time when cousins were cool. I don't know if brother and sister ever were, you know, that seems to be even frowned upon in Westeros. In King's Landing, is brother-sister action acceptable? I can't really tell. Like, she had to, you know, do the walk of shame. What's going to happen when they find out aunt-nephew action is happening?
Well, the reason she had to do the walk of shame, though, was only for that religious sect that she blew up. So I think those folks are pretty much gone. It wasn't the townspeople as much as it was the religious folks, right?
No, I think it's pretty much over with the dragons.
Let me go ahead and say this. Was anybody else disappointed with the dragon riding scene, or is that just me?
Well, I had a question about that. Did, when the dragons, you know, giving them the hairy eyeball, was that because the dragon knew about the aunt, nephew, fucky, fucky, sucky, sucky thing? Or
I think so.
Was that him just, like, jealous because it was, you know, the mother of dragons?
I couldn't tell if it was the stink eye or if it was just like the inquisitive stare.
Or were they like, we're going to fuck that guy too because we do everything as a family. So when you're done with him, bring him on over
here. Did he want to eat him? Did he want to, you know, what was that look he was giving him?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I mean, and how hard would it be to perform when you got two dragons staring you down like that? I feel like it'd be.
Right.
Terrible breath. They must have bad breath and everything.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You just don't bring it up when they're around though.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about bad looks. You know, the dragon thing. I think the dragon, first off, I'll say my opinion on this. I think the dragon knows they're related because the dragons can clearly sense that Jon is also dragonborn, right?
Targaryen, yeah.
So I think they know. So they're giving him the old, like, hey, dude, you're about to fuck your aunt.
Yep. That's what I was wondering.
No, he already did.
Well, he already did. They know it. I mean, they can smell it on him.
Scent,
you know,
is
so
like
they
a
know.
Thousand but, times stronger than humans.
Exactly.
What is the Night King's goal? What do you got? What is he
what
trying
is
to do?
Problem, man.
Yeah. What's your deal?
What's your deal, man?
Well,
that's a good question.
Some people say that he's Bran. That he's like a future version of Bran. And
how about the scene with Bran when Jaime Lannister gets there and he pulls off his hood and he turns and he looks over at Bran and Bran's just like shooting the daggers at him.
Yeah.
Is Bran blind? Because why is he? I know he's always supposed to be looking off into the middle distance. I mean, that's like his whole thing where I can see through animals. But he's playing it kind of like he's blind. And so when he looks at Jaime, you're like, is he really looking at Jaime? Or is he kind of looking over there or above him, below him?
I have a prediction for episode 2.
All right, bring it on.
It cuts to the opening is Jaime walks over to Bran. Spins him around in his wheelchair and wheels him off the side of a cliff.
I truly hope so.
He's like, this guy, really, I didn't know you survived, and he's got a lot of evidence to against me. If I just wheel him off a cliff into the ocean, all will be cool.
And he can't fight back, so it's pretty easy to do.
Yeah, exactly.
How's that fall into your Game of Thrones league, Clint? You got a bet on that?
I do have a bet on that. Yeah, there's a bet on if Bran dies or not. So
I want to hear this. Is that exist? A bet that Jaime will wheel Bran off a cliff.
It's Bran's death, but I joined a nerdy online Game of Thrones fantasy league, and you put in things like how many glasses of wine will be drank in the entire episode, how long before the first death, things like that. And I'm up in points, actually. The only thing I got right was how long in the episode before we see nudity. And I guessed it. It was 23 minutes. Don't know how I guessed that, but that's what it was. But yeah, so I'm part of that. And Bran's death is one of the things. If he dies within the first couple episodes, you get so many points, and then it goes down the line. So yeah, super nerd for Game of Thrones.
Yeah, sweet gratuitous four-way in that last episode.
Right?
Yeah.
Climb on top of me. Wait a minute. Someone's coming in. I got to talk.
I love that guy, too.
I listened to Wait, Don't Tell Me. It's an NPR show. Way back in the day when Game of Thrones was first coming out, they were interviewing someone who's making the show, one of the higher guys. And they were like, so you guys seem to have found a really good formula. You've got a show of people like doing really long monologue type descriptions of historical facts and relationships of people that's really boring, but you found the secret. You make that person naked and everyone pays attention.
Or Martin was onto something. George, old George.
Yeah, crack the code.
It's funny. I read those books, but I can't remember if there's as much nudity in those books.
Yeah.
I don't think there was. I know South Park had a pretty good take on George R. R. Martin and his love for showing wieners. That was a pretty good episode.
So, Eric, who's going to be on top? How's this whole thing going to end?
Who's going to be on top? Gilly. Gilly's going to end up on top.
Gilly. That's a bold choice right there.
Didn't even see that one coming.
In my fantasy league, I think you'd win all of it if that actually came true. So
I got to go to bed.
Logan, good seeing you, brother.
It's been awesome hanging out with you.
Good hanging out with you, man.
All right, buddy. Good night, man.
Get some sleep, buddy. Man, I've pretty much expended most of the questions that I've had, but it has been an absolute pleasure chatting with you.
Well, thank you so much for being on with us, man. This has been a fantastic time. I'll always remember this. And
oh, this is hysterical. Yeah, it was great. So in relation to your one question you asked where I grew up, I did grow up in Minneapolis, but when I saw you in Pensacola, my parents have lived down in Pensacola, Florida for 30 years now, so it's mostly home.
Pensacola is cool. I lived in Pensacola for a while. It's a fun place.
It's a fun place. Yeah, it was fun seeing you there.
Yeah, I saw you twice. I got a picture with you and Paul, and so then I got over there and caught up with you this other year.
So, Paul and I went together last year, and then this year I just kind of popped in.
Yeah.
Do you cool. find a lot of value in going to cons? I mean, do you for whatever you're promoting and whatnot, or is it more something you like to do just to kind of connect with fans?
Yeah, I'd say mostly Paul and I were doing it last year promoting Super Troopers 2.
Right.
So it was a great way to interact directly with fans. Mm-hmm. And then
it worked for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew I was going to see the movie, but after I met you guys and we talked about it, you impressed upon me like it's very important we get a good showing. And I was like, all right, fuck it, I'm doing it then. So I was there on opening day. I mean,
Chris came back from Pentagon telling me that story when he met you and about how important it is for that opening weekend. I mean, because you always know they report the numbers for opening weekend and whatnot, but just really how important that is for a movie. And I was there opening day too, and you never think about that kind of stuff when you're looking at movies like Super Troopers. You just think, oh, of course they're going to make money on it. But
yeah, it's just we're going to be there anyway. So
yeah, right. Well, it's very cool. Thank you guys. It really is a huge deal. And the only reason we get a chance to make a third one is because people went opening weekend.
That's awesome, man. Great.
All right, thanks so much, Eric. Dude, we really appreciate it.
Yeah, guys, good talking to you, man. Men's.
Absolutely.
Great talking to you.
Have a good weekend.
Thank you.
Catch you later, man.
Have a great trip to Maine.
All right, you bear fuckers.
Later.
Nice.
Later.
Over and out.
Well, fucking A, man. We just got an hour and a half with Eric Stolhansky.
Shit. Yeah, we did.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Thank you for listening to Because Nerd. If you liked it, make sure to subscribe, share, rate, or comment. And check out becausenerd.com for even more cool shit. And if the spirit has truly moved you, you can pledge your support directly to us on Patreon. Because Nerd is a production of Scriptic Media.